You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Ho, ho, ho. Like, what's the deal with that anyway? Why does Santa have ho, ho, ho? Like, what does that even mean? I'm not sure what that means. But, you know, ho, 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 right? It's not Christmas. I just want to be clear with that. That it is not Christmas yet. Christmas officially season begins the day after Thanksgiving in our house. That includes Christmas music, son. But I wanted to talk to you about Christmas for a moment, specifically Santa Claus. And if you're watching at home with your entire family, parents, no fears. There are no spoilers happening here. But I want to talk about Santa. And this is an epic Santa beard that actually was made by Alethea. It's a little bit more than just a beard. I think it's a wig. So I want to show you a clip of a show that you may or may not remember or have watched as you were growing up, or even now. This is like falling off of my face. Man, I'm not very good with a beard. But I want you to, if you're at home watching, if you're, you know, for the few of you in here from the band, go, if you know the words, sing along. But as you sing along, listen to the words that you're singing. Because I want to talk about Santa Claus and what you need to be aware of and be careful about. So go ahead and watch this video.
Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not howl, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
So, Santa Claus is coming to town, and because Santa Claus is coming to town, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you. Why? Because Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. Like, what's this list all about? He's checking it twice. The list is all about who is naughty and who is nice because Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. That's creepy. He knows when you're awake. Okay? He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. And, of course, the whole concept of Santa Claus is built around being good so that you can get stuff, specifically presents or a stocking full of things that aren't coal, because you get coal in your stocking if you're bad. And, you know, I don't know, is that frowned upon now? Are you allowed to get coal? Like, isn't coal a thing you're not supposed to have anymore? Right? So anyway, The whole concept of Santa is built around, if you are good, you will receive good things. And if you are bad, you will get bad things, or good things won't come to you. And I have pieces of this beard all up in my hair, and my beard in my mouth. But here's the thing. We, I think, unfortunately, have built our understanding of God in a similar way that we picture Santa Claus, that we understand Santa Claus. The idea of if you're good, you'll get good. If you're bad, you'll get bad. And I think that we like that concept because if you do something, you get what you deserve. You get your work, you know, your result for the work that you put into it. And if you don't do something and someone does something bad, they get what they deserve. And here's the problem with thinking about God the way we think about Santa Claus, especially as we've been talking all month long about this idea of truth, justice, and the American way. And we looked at the first week about how God is a God of justice, and He is interested in justice. And how the second week we looked at how all human life is valuable because we've been created in God's image. And then last week we talked about the importance of doing rather than just talking about doing good things. And so I want to wrap this up talking about this issue that is the ultimate injustice. And the reason I want to talk about this ultimate injustice, because when we look at life, when we look at Santa, when we look at living and doing good things that you'll get, that is not how grace works. That is not how what Jesus has done for us works. Grace is not that way. Grace is undeserved. We get Jesus, and then we'll talk about that all morning, but we get Jesus not because of what we've done that's good, not because He's keeping making a list and checking it twice. It's because it's an undeserved gift. We don't deserve what we get. And grace is undeserved. It's unfair. And you could even say that grace is unjust. Because when we talk about this idea of justice, and justice often looks like that, and I remember in our creative team a few months ago talking about this series, that we have this idea of justice looks like karma. It looks like, you know, what goes around comes around, and you do this and you're going to get that. And I think we need to pull back and understand that justice is about, and we talked about this the very first week, so you can listen to that at mc3church.org and click on Listen to the Point for this series. But we don't want to mix up that what God has done for us is not built on what we do. That our salvation, our hope in Jesus isn't about what we do, therefore earns what we have, what we get. Because that is the opposite of grace. That is the opposite of what Jesus did. And the point that I want us to look at this week is that the truth is, the ultimate injustice was Jesus on the cross. Because a lot of times we'll cry out for justice and we want this to happen. And sometimes those are needed. And again, the first week we talked about that. But we need to realize that the ultimate, the highest level of injustice is what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that is the ultimate level. And so before we start whining about our own unfairness, before we start whining about what isn't right, we need to kind of step back and say, what did Jesus do for us? And look at His example. Because again, we talked that first week, if God is a God of justice, then we need to be imitating Him. We need to be following Christ's example. And again, we're going to get into that a little bit more this morning. But we can't look at Jesus like Santa. We can't look at Him as if I'm good, then I'll get good things. And if I'm bad, then I'll get bad things. And the other thing about this, and we're going to get into this in some more, but when we look at the good side of things, okay, that's great. We like to do good things and we earn, you know, God's love or something like that. But then the negative side of that is we are not punished for the things that we have done that is wrong. That's what Jesus did on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross was unfair, was unjust, and that was the ultimate injustice. So we're going to look at this passage, and we've talked about this a million times. It's a great, just a beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And we're going to spend kind of the first half of our morning there. So if you have the YouVersion app, you can just tap on New Testament, tap on 2 Corinthians 5, 21, and that's a 1. That's 21, not 27 there. This is from the NIV version, but you can certainly follow along in any, or just listen as I talk. This is what Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And I just want to take a few minutes and get really, really basic. I mean, if you were listening or watching or here last week when Jesus shared like one of the most obvious verses in the Bible about a good tree produces good fruit, a bad tree produces bad fruit, a bad tree produces not good fruit, and that whole deal. So this is where I'm going to break it down a little obvious on this one too, but I think it's important for us to realize, especially, I mean, come on, things are crazy. Things are unfair. Things are unusual, the very least. And I think sometimes if we just pull back, and not that it makes it any easier, but just pull back and reflect on what Jesus did for us that was unfair, it doesn't make it easier, but at least gives us some perspective. And maybe, since we're coming up on Thanksgiving, not Christmas, this week, maybe it'll help us to reflect and thank God more for what we have and for what we have specifically in Jesus. So let's just talk about injustice in four easy steps. The first step is he had no sin. Jesus had no sin. And of course, that's the first part of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It says, God made him who had no sin. Are we following there? Is that me or is that you? God made him who had no sin. Is that on the screen there? Maybe it doesn't. No, we froze. Yes, no, we're good. Okay, anyway, you can follow along. And so here's a couple things about this, that Jesus did not have any sin. As God, Jesus cannot sin. It is impossible for God to sin. And so the fact that Jesus was fully man and fully God, and over the next series, we're going to be looking at that a little bit more and what those two things mean. But sin can't exist in God's presence. Like, this is just some basic stuff, but sin can't exist in God's presence. God's glory is too amazing that anything of any hint of sin would be completely destroyed. And so God loves us. And so God says, okay, what are we going to do? This creation that we talked about 2 weeks ago that was created in my image, this creation that I love, how can I restore that? Like, he didn't wait for us to do good things. He's not checking the list, making the list and checking it twice. He says, I want to step in and make this happen. And so God became a human being in Jesus. And so as God, he can't sin. But as a human, he didn't have our sin nature. After Adam and Eve, and we talked about this back during the VN series, about the fall and what it did to creation and how ultimately that's going to be restored in the end times. But how our sin, we all have inherited this sin nature. Like, we don't even have to choose to sin. We are sinners by birth because you got it from your parents. Just blame them. And they got it from their parents. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And if you remember, if you know the Christmas story, sorry, we are going to talk about Christmas a little bit, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Like, we talk about that, you know, round yon virgin, mother and child. I guess she was circular. I don't know. When you're pregnant, you're kind of round, I guess. But that's probably not what that means. Anyway, so we were talking about this virgin that Jesus was born to this virgin. So what does that mean? What it's talking about isn't just this is really cool and miraculous, which it is. It was the fact that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that, I forget what series, we talked about the idea of, you know, Mary was basically just the delivery person. She was the one that passed the pizza on to the world, and she didn't choose how it was made or anything like that. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus. Jesus didn't have a human mother or father, just a host in Mary. And therefore, Jesus didn't have any sin. He was sinless. So on this earth, for the 33-some years that he lived, he did not sin one bit, nor did he have a sin nature. He didn't have that baggage that we automatically have as humans, because of our sin nature. So here is this Jesus who had no sin. And again, it's like, of course Jesus didn't sin. Of course he had no sin, we know. But it's just important for us to recognize that Jesus had no sin. And are we good? Is it working or did we freeze back there? Okay, go to the next slide. Okay, so he took our sin. So the first part was that God made him who had no sin. And then the second thing is that Jesus took our sin. The second step is that he took our sin. And that's what the second part of 2 Corinthians verse 21 says. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And I highlighted the wrong spot. But to be sin for us. That Jesus didn't have any sin and he took our sin. And he all of our sin was placed on him at the cross. He didn't do this. There was no reason that Jesus had to do this, except that he loved us. And that is why he took our sin. It wasn't because we did something to earn it. It wasn't because we were good enough. It wasn't because, like, oh, okay, those people, they're pretty nice. I'll take their sin, but those people, not so much. He took all of our sin on the cross. So he who knew no sin took our sin. And why did he do that? If you're familiar with John 3:16, because God loved the world that he gave us Jesus, because of his love for us. So Jesus, who didn't have any sin, took our sin. He took it in himself on the cross. And if you remember, again, I don't know how, if you're, you know, a church person or not, but maybe the story of Jesus on the cross, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's this moment of tension between Jesus, the human on the cross, and God the Father in heaven. And there's a barrier where God the Father had essentially ignored Jesus on the cross because he couldn't look upon him, because at that moment Jesus had our sin. And there was a little bit of a separation there between the Son and the Father, because at that moment, again, sin can't exist in God's presence. And so the Son took our sin. So the first step is he had no sin. The second step is that he took our sin. And by the way, I should just clarify this word sin. We've talked about it many, many times. But sin means to miss the mark. The Greek word literally means to miss the mark. If you were shooting an arrow at a target or throwing an axe at a target. I saw this really cool video the other day where someone was throwing an axe at a target, and there were like a competition where they both had to throw at the same time. And the one axe hit and the other axe hit the handle of the axe behind it. And they were both bullseye. It was a very Robin Hood kind of moment. But anyway, that idea of hitting the target, that's God's perfect, God's best for us. And God wants us to follow him because he cares about us. He loves us. And he says, this is what I want for you. And when we choose to ignore that or to disobey that, anywhere outside of that target, that is sin. So sin is the bad things we do. It's the things where we choose not to obey God. And sometimes sins aren't just awful, horrendous things like murder. But sometimes sin is just when God says, I want you to do this. And you're like, no, I'm going to do that. We talked about last week with this idea of just talking about doing and doing. You know, you see a need in front of you and you choose not to do it, as you talked about in prime groups. If you choose not to do it, James says that's sin. If you see something you should do. So that's what sin is. And so Jesus didn't have any sin, and he took all of our sins. So all the wrong things that you and I have ever done, Jesus took them. He carried them. He put them in his body on the cross because sin deserves death. And then the third step is that we trust him. So here's a guy, a God, Son, Jesus, God-man, who had no sin, taking our sin, undeserved, nothing that we did, and then we trust him. We need to trust him. And that's the third part of this verse. Says, sorry, I'm not tracking myself. So that in him, so God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in believing in Jesus, in trusting in what he has done, that we, and we'll get to that in a second, we get his righteousness. And here's the thing, like, I think this is hard for us. I think the idea of, and maybe it's an American thing, maybe it's just a human thing, but we don't like it when someone gives us something. We struggle with that sometimes. We feel like, well, that's unnecessary. No, thank you. We feel like, what can I do to pay you back? We feel like, how can I make this right? And the idea of just something as simple as believing just doesn't seem fair. And it's not. It's not fair. But something as simple as believing doesn't fit sometimes in our category. And what we are told is that in Jesus, just by simply believing, this is something for us. Not because of what we work to do, not because we pay attention to Santa's list and make sure that we're naughty and nice, that we're on the nice side of it, not the naughty side of it. It's none of that. It's just simply belief. And I was going to say, this is why Santa is preferred to Jesus, I think, sometimes. We like Santa better because Santa's fair. Santa's fair. You do this, you get that. You don't do this, you don't get that. But Jesus isn't fair. And that's a good thing. And I think that's where we, again, our mentality is kind of like, we have to do this to get that. And Jesus says, no, I'm doing it. You don't have to do anything. All you simply do is believe. All you simply do is trust. And just to clarify something, because last week we talked about doing, you know, what about doing? I thought we're supposed to do to show that we love Jesus. But listen to this. Doing is because Jesus has rescued you. We do good things because Jesus has rescued us. We don't do good things to get Jesus to rescue us. Do you understand the difference there? Like here's this idea of let's just say the cross is here, and we are not doing good things so that we get to this moment where Jesus is like, oh, okay, you deserve my death on the cross. We recognize what Jesus did on the cross. We simply believe, and because of what he has done for us, therefore we do good things. We're not doing them to get God to love us. It's not a Santa thing. It's a free, unfair gift that he has given us, because in him is what we've been given. And then the fourth step for injustice is that we get his sinlessness. That we get that all of this. So here's Jesus, who had no sin, takes our sin. We simply trust. We just believe in him. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. Then we get his sinlessness. We get that. And that's the last part of 2 Corinthians 5:21. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that we get his sinlessness. With that trust, we receive it. Therefore, we're able to be with God in eternity. So here's the deal. You've got this sinful human being and this sinless God over here. And this sinless God in Jesus says, I'm going to take your sin. And now that sinless God, Jesus, has our sin. And we, by believing in him, get his righteousness. Now we are no longer, through belief, we are no longer sinful. We're going to do sinful acts. But ultimately, God sees us as sinless, and we'll, that's in eternity, when we die, or if Jesus returns. You can pay attention to the end series for that. But in that moment, God has declared us to be sinless. And therefore, because we have his sinlessness through trust, we now have access to the presence of God. Like the whole idea of hell, and we did a whole series called Burn. You can listen to that at mc3church.org also. But the whole idea of hell isn't necessarily that God's like, ha ha ha, sucker is going to get you. It's because God cannot exist in the presence of sin. And so Jesus came, took our sin. He who had no sin became sin for us. We switch places. So that in him, through belief, we might become the righteousness of God. This has been called the great exchange, that Jesus took our place so that we can be with him in eternity. And that's injustice, because there's nothing that you or I can do to earn this. There's nothing we can. I mean, frankly, let's be fair, be clear, like you weren't even born when Jesus did this. But even throughout eternity, throughout history, there is no act where God's like, okay, you need to do enough. Okay, now I'll make my death. I'll die on the cross for you. There's nothing that we need to do, and so that's injustice. Like that's ultimately injustice, because the one who did nothing wrong, the one who was perfect, the one who was holy, the one who was right, the one who was loving, the one who was caring, the one who was healing, took all of our sin. You know, us, the one who lies, the people that cheat, the people that want our own way, the people that steal, the people that do things that we're not supposed to, the people that say words that we're not supposed to, the people that hurt others intentionally. Like those things, this is what Jesus took in him, and he gave us his righteousness. That's injustice, and that's what it looks like in four simple steps. So before, and again, I'm not saying that it's hard when we're in the middle of unjust circumstances. And why is it unjust and not unjust circumstances? I don't get that. But anyway, you know, I didn't write the English language. Shocker. Anyway, but this, you know, before we start getting into the spot of like, this isn't fair, that's not right, just take a step back and reflect on, wow, this is rough, this is unfair, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus did for us. He had no sin. He took our sin. We trust him and we get his sinlessness. And that is it. It's a transaction of these two things. And it's simply through belief. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But just for you, if you're listening, you're watching, whatever, have you made that decision? Because it's that step three is the key. It's the trust. It's the thing that says, I am making this decision to believe that what Jesus did for me matters. I'm accepting his free gift. And, you know, sorry for more Christmas illustrations, but the idea of a gift, you know, you have to accept it. Someone gives you a gift, if it's sitting there, like, that's great. But the act of opening it and taking it and receiving it, that's when you actually get the gift. And you have to, I have to believe in him. And have you ever made that? And by the way, this is kind of a separate off tangent with that. This isn't something you need to keep redoing. If you make that commitment to follow Jesus, to believe what he did on the cross, then you are, as Paul says, that it's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We receive the Holy Spirit, meaning it's a guarantee. You make that decision, you are guaranteed eternity with Jesus. Because he took our sin, we trust him, and then we get his sinlessness. That's injustice. Because the truth is, the ultimate injustice was Jesus on the cross. And I think we need to remember that. I mean, again, not that it makes life easier now. It's a lot of floaties here. But it gives us at least some pause to say, okay, Jesus, you went through far worse. And you care about us enough that you did that. He loves us enough that he did that. And so that's the thing that I want us to grasp as we talk about this, you know, we wrap up this series, basically, of truth, justice in the American way and injustice and the unfairness. And before we just get too far down this rabbit hole of talking about how unfair things are, Jesus was the ultimate example of that. And that's good news. Because if he was fair, we would all be in hell. We would be there for eternity. Because we get what we deserve. If that's the way Jesus operated, if Jesus operates like Santa, we're going to hell. We're going to burn for eternity. And if you're like, why is he talking about that? Again, you can check out the Burn series. It's a thing. But Jesus was unfair. He took our sin so that we could have his righteousness, so that we would have eternity with God. So let me just share a couple of thoughts here, just some things that we can maybe learn, walk out of. We've already talked about a couple of them already. But some things because of his injustice, because of what Jesus did for us, there's some things that we can kind of take away from a practical standpoint. The first thing is, because of his injustice, we are given what we don't deserve. We are given what we don't deserve. This is just no matter what your background, no matter your failures, no matter what you think are the big mistakes that God could never forgive, no matter what you grew up in, no matter any of those things, God doesn't look back again like Santa and go, well, you know, because of that thing, sorry. Instead, we are given what we don't deserve. And Romans 6:23 says it this way, and if you grew up in church, you probably have heard this verse once or twice before. But Paul writes to the church in Rome, he says, when you sin, the pay you get is death. So when you sin, what you deserve is death. And we've already talked about that. That death is eternal separation from God. Like we die because of sin. And so that's what we earn. Like you do these things, what you get is death. That is what we deserve. That is what's fair, is death for our sin. But God gives you the gift of eternal life. And that's because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done. See, we've been given a gift. We don't get what we deserve. We've been given this gift. And again, a gift is a gift. I mean, at Christmas time, I mean, maybe that's a weird thing too. Like if you talk about Christmas, at Christmas we kind of expect it. Like, oh, okay, that's Christmas. I got to do the gift exchange thing, and you got to have the secret Santa, and you got to sign up and do the name grab and change names, and you're not surprised that someone has your name and you have their name because you had to get a gift for them and they had to get a gift for you. And so we kind of lose some of that. But maybe think about, mid-July. A mid-July gift, and someone says, hey, this is for you. At that point, you're like, why? What did I do to deserve this? What did I do to earn this? And the point is nothing. If it's truly a gift and someone gives it to you, that's a gift. It's undeserved. It's not because of anything you've done or anything you deserve. And that's what we need to understand when it comes to Jesus. His injustice has given us what we don't deserve. We're given that. And so no matter what failures we make, no matter how screwed up we are, no matter how far we messed up or how far away from God we think we have become, in Jesus, all of that is forgiven. We don't get what we deserve. When you sin, the pay you get is death. But God gives you the gift of eternal life, and that's through Jesus. So we are given what we don't deserve. A second thing related to Jesus' injustice is that we are unable to earn it. And this goes back to the Santa concept. Like we feel like, okay, if I do more good things, and I'm telling you, even now, like I had a conversation just yesterday with someone asking me, like, is the COVID thing because of God's punishment for us and what we haven't done or have done? And my conversation, my response was actually Jesus was punished for what we have done or not done. And if you want to debate me and theologically about that, we can get into it. But I'm just saying, I feel like we have this concept of we do good things, we get good things. We do bad things, we get bad things. And karma, hello, it's a Hindu thing, not a Jesus thing. We are unable to earn what Jesus has given to us. That's a gift. Do you get that too? Like, I don't know what your job is or how your paycheck works at your job, but I get paid twice a month, and I actually make money for this. Isn't it crazy? Like, I get paid to do, I love it. Anyway, but I get a paycheck, and when my paycheck is there, I'm not like, oh, thank you so much. What an incredible gift. No, I actually am like, okay, this is what I did. And you know, I've gotten to a spot like, where's my paycheck? It's running late. Where is it? Like, I expect it. I deserve it if something like that happens. And I think that's probably the same for you. Like, when you get a paycheck, you're not like, wow, how amazing this is. You go up to your boss, let me just shake your hand. Oh, you're so great. I appreciate this. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, what, another one? What? No, because that's something you earn. But a gift is not earned. A gift is given. A gift is something that is totally given without. And let me just be clear here. Jesus' gift, God's gift to us, is something that we can't earn. And I know there's people. I know that there's people that have ulterior motives. And they'll give us something, you know, kind of like, I'll give you that because I'm expecting something in return. And we know that's not really a gift. You can call it that, but it's not. You know, I'm going to scratch your back, but later I'm going to cash in my chips, and you're going to scratch my back. I don't know. Did I combine too many metaphors there? Wait, cashing your chips, does that mean you're going to die? You hold a chip in the game, or I don't know. Anyway, but the point is, we are unable to earn this. And this is how Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in chapter 4. He says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, are we with me so far? He's saying, God is so rich in mercy. We are dead in our sin. We are stuck in it. But he loved us so much that even though we were dead, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. And grace is this idea. It is a free gift. It is something you can't earn. Grace means, and we've said this so many times, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. He loves you so much, and it is through that grace that you have been saved, that you have been rescued for eternity. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So what's he saying there? That because Jesus is alive, he rose from the dead, that we have, through trust in him, we have hope for eternity in heaven with Jesus because Jesus took our sin. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united in Christ Jesus. So he goes on and basically says, God's just saying, look, here's the example of my love. You see all these loser sinners? I love them and I died for them so that they can have eternity. They didn't do it. And he says, God saved you by his grace when you believe. That was step 3. We trust. In him, we receive this. When you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Like, have we heard this enough already? It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Paul could have, you know, maybe there's another paraphrased version that says, and I'm making this up, that says, you know, Jesus isn't Santa. Jesus ain't Santa. You're not going to earn it and be good enough for him to give you what you deserve. This is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. So it's not anything that we earn. And I think that's again, why I think it's such a challenge for us. I think there are probably other cultures that the gifts are a more natural part of the culture. And so it's easier to receive a free gift. Sometimes for us, sometimes we're like, no, that's too easy. I mean, if someone gives you something, there's often a question that you ask when someone gives you something, especially Like, if it's a person you know and love and care about, it's one thing. But let's just say you're watching something on TV, or there's an ad that comes up on YouTube or Facebook, and it says, get this free gift just for calling. And if you're like me, the automatic question is, what's the catch? What's the catch? And because we have that kind of built into us. What's the catch? Okay, so Jesus is offering us this free thing, but what's the catch? And the thing is, there is no catch. The catch is that God loves us. That's why it happened. That's the fine print. That's the hidden part. That's the extra thing that says, you know, where, you know, a normal thing would say, all results may not vary. This might be not normal, you know, license for use in only this state. The fine print down here says, because God loved us. That's the catch. That's why it's something we can't earn. It is a gift from God. It is through God's grace. And it is something that we are unable to earn. And so again, I ask that question. Have you simply believed in Jesus' death for you? Have you believed? That's all it takes. Not what have you done. Not how many times have you gone to church. Not how much money have you given to a needy family. Not how many Amazon Smile clicks you've done. Which it works, by the way. I think over the last year we've given like $70 or something. You add all that up with all the different people, that's a lot of money helping Forward Edge for nothing that we have to do, which is a gift. But it's not about the things we do. It's simply because God has done this for us. And when we talk about injustice, when we talk about God's love, I know for me, I mean, I've got a master's degree in Christian education. My job is to study the Bible. I get paid for this. And I still have behind, in the back of my mind, this idea, but if I do this thing, then I'll get this thing from Jesus. If I do this good thing, then things will be a little bit better over here. If I'm extra nice this week, maybe then that thing will happen the way I want it to. And that's just poor theology. It's just not God's love. And the flip side of that, too, is that, as we said earlier, it was unearned. Like, it's not a matter of, oh, I did this and there's no way that God can love me now. Oh, I messed up and now my week is going to be really bad. And now it's because of what I've done that this is happening to me. Like, and I should clarify, there are consequences for our sin. If you decide to run around in the middle of the highway and get hit by a car, you've made a poor choice. You're going to have to deal with the consequences. But it's not a punishment for eternity because it's a free gift if we believe in Jesus. So we are given what we don't deserve. So no matter our background, no matter our failures, no matter our mistakes, we don't have to sit back and go, oh, I probably crossed the line this time and God's done with me. I mean, as humans, we feel that way. We're done with people. That's it. Too many mistakes. But God doesn't act that way. The second thing is we're unable to earn it. So there's nothing that we need to do or can do to earn God's love for us. And then the third thing, because of his injustice, we're prepared when we suffer injustice. And I think, you know, this is a series we planned months ago. This, you know, I was even working on this before we even knew what month are we in, November, would be like. But there's a lot of talk of injustice and a lot of suffering and things that aren't fair. And some of them are maybe unfair from a legal perspective. Some of them are just unfair from a sickness perspective. Why is that person okay and that person isn't? You know, why can't we have family for Thanksgiving? Like a lot of this idea of unfairness. And I know there's really lots of levels and all sorts of arguments and all that. And I'm not here to talk about that. Like I said, this whole series isn't about me telling you what to believe, but saying, what does the Bible say? And I think when we look at the injustice around us, when we personally suffer injustice, I think we can fall back a little bit onto Jesus. Because he was just like us. He was a human. And again, over this next series, we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus was human. And we did a whole series, actually, last December called One of Us, and how Jesus struggles with the same struggles as a human that we struggle with. Not the sin struggle, but the same challenges, the same pain, the same sorrow. And so when we look at Jesus as our example, who suffered injustice, we are now prepared to when we suffer injustice. Like, we can kind of, okay, well, Jesus did this, I can do this. And this is what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. So we are to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. And we talked about that last week, about the idea maybe there's times when we're supposed to do nothing. He says he never retaliated when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. So what did that look like? He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. So he, do you see a pattern here? He who knew no sin took our sin in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin. We get his righteousness and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. And so even this example of Jesus on the cross, just again, not that it makes things easy and like, oh, I'm just trusting Jesus and it's okay that everything's kind of miserable right now. But just gives us that pause to say, okay, Jesus, you've been in a far worse position. You've been in a far more difficult scenario. You died on the cross for something that you did not deserve. And at least, as humans, as sinful people, we get what we deserve. But Jesus didn't get what he deserved. Instead, he took our sin, and it's through that trust, that faith in him, that we get his righteousness. So no matter where we are, we can look back and say, okay, Jesus, you did it. You love us. All right, you're with us in this too. And we can get through this. We can trust you. And we know that we're not alone and that our injustice is not unique, and it's not even as extreme as what Jesus did for us, because he took our sin in his body on the cross, sin that he never committed, sin that we did, so that and through belief in him, we are now dead to our sin. Our sin is no more in God's eyes. And we live for what is right. And we've been healed by what Jesus did for us. So because of his injustice, we are given what we don't deserve. It doesn't matter our past, our failures, our mistakes, our upbringing, any of that. We are unable to earn it. You can't, Nemo. So stop trying. Like, there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. And finally, we are prepared when we suffer injustice, because Jesus went through this. And in the middle of our moments, we can go, okay, God's got this too. He's been there. He's with us. And we can trust him in the middle of the injustice. And we can be grateful. We can thank him for what he has done. Because the truth is, the ultimate injustice was Jesus on the cross. Jesus doesn't work like Santa. He doesn't keep a list. He doesn't make a list and check it twice. Jesus is like Santa in that he does see you all the time. He's always with us. So we get that part. But it doesn't sound as creepy when it's, I am with you always versus I see you when you're sleeping. That's Jesus. And that's the God that we are serving. That's the God that we follow. That's the God that we're worshiping. And so in Thanksgiving, maybe this week, we're not as thankful for some of the normal stuff because it's not normal. But maybe we can step back and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you did. Thank you for taking our sin in your body on the cross to give us your righteousness through trust in you. Thank you that we can't earn it. Thank you that there's nothing that we do to deserve it. But you loved us so much that you gave it to us. And so I just pray, no question. I don't think there's any person watching or listening right now that isn't experiencing some sort of injustice and frustration and disappointment. And I thank you that your injustice was so much further, so much greater, first of all, because it gave us hope for eternity through belief in Jesus, but also because you are with us and you've been through these moments. And so in these moments where we want to retaliate, we want to get angry, we want to get upset, I just pray that as Jesus did, we leave things in your hands, God, and just step back and trust you. Trust you in these moments. Thank you for everything that we've been able to look at in your word. Thank you for giving it to us as an example for how to live for truth and justice. And I pray that we would be different because of your word working in us. And I pray, God, if there's anyone that has not made the decision to trust you, that today would be that day that they would decide to give up trying and to stop, you know, not complaining, but making excuses for the failures they've had, but just trust you so that you will take their sin and give them your righteousness for hope for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.